You're listening to The Monster Sci-Fi Show.
Welcome back, Monster Sci-Fi Show fans. We are now doing part two of our special Star Trek review. So, as I said in the first podcast, this is going to be spoilers, spoilers, spoilers galore. So, if you have not seen Star Trek or have not listened to me say this in the first podcast, stop this podcast because we will be talking about spoilers in this film. So, I don't want you to ruin this podcast to ruin it for you, but you have been warned. So, let's pick up a conversation. We have, again, with us Mr. Gene.
Hello.
And we have a special guest from our last podcast. It's Tony from the CinemaViewfinder.com.
Hi.
All right. So we were talking about, or at least still having a heavy debated conversation about Eric Bana's performance as Nero. And the thing that I wanted to discuss, or at least bring up, was that there was this scene that I really bugged the hell out of me. He's putting a creature in Pike's body from Seti Alpha 5, the same creature that we saw in Star Trek 2. And that really pissed me off. Because, first off, if he's supposed to reveal information that Pike's supposed to tell certain secrets or whatever, we never get that. This was just a blatant ripoff from Star Trek 2, which I was just really pissed off. It's like, you could have come up with a better way to have done that scene rather than having to do that. And then there's no payoff for that. We don't see anything that happens to Pike later on, if the thing comes out of his ear or his stomach or nothing. Except that you just assume he just crapped it out of his butt. And that's
right,
it.
It's still in him. You're right. This doesn't make sense.
Yeah, so maybe that's a plot line that we are supposed to be aware of because, you know, this is still going to happen or something's going to be revealed or who knows what's going to happen in the next movie. But to me, I thought that was just like, what are you doing? Don't try to do Khan in the middle of a new Star Trek film, you know, trying to put this creature that we've seen before. And that was one thing that really bugged me more than anything else is that one scene because there was no payoff. There was nothing to reveal, you know, the big secrets like Pike fights, you know, to not tell the Federation secrets about their subspace communication frequency or whatever. But somehow it happened because, you know, the mining ship gets through to Earth. I mean, what happened to Starfleet's defense shield or Starfleet's, you know, take of having some kind of border perimeter protection? It's none there. So I would assume that something had happened, but we don't see it. And it reminds me of the lame scene that we see in Generations with Malcolm McDowell, in which he has Geordi, and this is in the book and not in the movie, right, in which he does something to his heart, and we don't see that, but he makes that one line that, oh, Geordi didn't have a heart in him or something to that effect, and it was just like, that was terrible. You know, and it's like they just repeated the exact same disastrous scene in this new film, and that was just terrible. So that was just my spiel, my 2 minutes going on ranting and raving. But that was my probably worst moment in the whole film, is that scene.
You know, speaking to that, I mean, let me go back for a second and say that I didn't have the same problem with Eric Bana's character as you guys did. Mm-hmm. I thought he was a great villain. Yes, there's no investment in him because, like I was saying, there's simply not enough time for you to get to know that character in this two-hour movie. But within what you had, I love the character. However, what you just said about that creature, which, by the way, they mentioned the creature to be a different creature than the one that Khan used. Mm. But it's still a blatant ripoff.
Yeah.
My problem, one of my problems, not just with this Star Trek movie, but with all of them, is that they've all fallen into this trap where they said, let's stick to this formula and rip off the most successful things from the movie has to have a major villain like Khan, and every movie has to have time travel like Star Trek IV, the one with the whales.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I want them to get away from that. I want them to get away from that. I don't need a major villain in every movie. Like, for example, like today they had a rerun on TV for The Doomsday Machine. Do you remember that one, Gene?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so they had that one, and the villain was this monster that would eat these ships up. And that's one of the best episodes of the old series.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could still have a major dramatic actor as the guest playing, you know, like the guy in that episode, you know, Captain Matt Decker.
Right.
They could still have somebody like that and not necessarily have to make him the villain of the piece, but more like the antagonist, the person who's hindering Captain Kirk from solving the problem.
Right.
I just think that they're falling into this repetitive pattern with trying to top each villain from the previous movie.
Right.
And the time travel thing, like, enough. Like, no, there should be no more time travel for about, you know, three movies at least. Like, let's just get them exploring space, running into something weird and whatnot. Like, I had a little problem with that. Like, this movie's trying to break new ground. Like, don't fall into the same old formulas.
Yeah, and the one thing that in the Nemesis script, because I read that before the movie came out, and this is Josh Logan? No. Who's the writer?
John Logan.
John Logan, thank you. Who, you know, in regards of Gladiator, was great. But the way he wrote this movie was basically what you would want to see based on Star Trek II, but a next generation version, because there are elements all the way around about family, about loss, and how Data was dead like Spock, but still lived on with Lore, or not Lore, with a B9, which
before,
don't get me started. Right. Well, in the script, he wrote B9, which is perfect, but how can you write the name of a prototype as before when there wasn't anything before?
Right.
Well, in any case, I like B9 better, but whatever case. It was just terrible. And here, it's like you have two great writers, had everything down pat except for this one moment, and they could have done so much better to deliver something that we have not seen before, but this is, like you said, too repetitive. We've been down this road too many times. And I wished it didn't happen, but unfortunately it did. So, Gene, you wanted to talk about something else that you want to bring up? Or?
Yeah, I just, you know, I know that you guys, I mean, for you, those of you listeners who may have ADD or listen to the podcast and may not remember, I'm just going to rehash the argument we had. Tony had a problem with the problem of changing the continuity, which, you know, it's, I was okay with it because the fact of the matter is that, you know, Star Trek isn't going to come out again as a TV series, as a regularly weekly TV series. I don't see that happening, you know, for this generation. You know, I don't see that happening. I mean, movies are pretty much all we've got now, in my opinion, for Star Trek. You know, so because of that, you know, as you were saying, you could kill off Chekhov. You know, it's, you can kill off, like it's kind of like in Serenity, where you knocked off major characters, because you knew that, generally speaking, we're going to get one, maybe two more shots at this. So go ahead and stick the bottle a little bit and take the risky things. You know, I mean, it was okay, because the thing is, the continuity that we talked about in the past, you guys love so much, it's still available for you on DVDs now, you know. And my point of this is that, you know, that this was kind of a reintroduction of the Star Trek cast to a new, more modern generation. And I think that, you know, people do know what Star Trek is. I think if you ask one out of every three or four people on the street, someone will know what Star Trek is. And if someone is curious about Star Trek and ask one out of every three or four people, someone will be able to know about it and maybe point them in the right direction. You know, I think that even people who haven't seen Star Trek before, you know, maybe some kids or what have you, or teenagers, they might get into it because of this movie and look up the old stuff.
Yeah. But you know what then? Then if you're gonna go radical, then go radical. Like, for instance, what a perfect opportunity to streamline it this would be. And I see that they're still holding on to certain things that they shouldn't hold on to. Like you know what? Like I like to call them the seven little dwarves. You know, Hura, Scotty, Sulu, mm-hmm. and Cheka. Okay? Get rid of the seven little dwarves already. Like, we don't need them. Like, the show was always about Kirk, Spock, and McCoy. You know, it didn't start getting really deep into these other characters till they went to the movie screen. And so, you know what? Like, instead of spending time, like you were saying, giving each of these guys something to do in the movie, like some token moment, you know, devote that time to the villain and strengthen the villain up, like you guys were saying. Right. And then just focus on Kirk, Spock, and McCoy. Like, that's really all you need. Like, now they're saddled with those guys and possibly Sarek and Christopher Pike also coming back in the next movie. I mean, I honestly don't need to see those guys again either, you know?
Okay. So. Well, really, on that note, and I think we're going to take a break here, but it really sets up on us that we're going to be talking about next is kind of a speculation as to what's going to happen as far as the next film, what's going to happen with the franchise in general. And I have some thoughts on that, and I wanted to kind of share this with you guys and get some feedback and see if perhaps maybe this is something that they should be doing or something that, you know, it's me being a fan and, you know, just give up those silly dreams that it will never happen just because you say so. But in any case, we're going to take a break here. And then again, we're going to pick up the conversation in less than 30 seconds. So, Monster Sci-Fi Show fans, stick around. You don't want to miss this great discussion on Star Trek.
The Monster Sci-Fi Show is celebrating all things Godzilla. This incredible monster movie icon has been thrilling audiences from around the world for over 50 years. Join me in reliving Godzilla's famous battles with Megalon, King Ghidorah, Mothra, Rodan, Mechagodzilla, Space Godzilla, Destroyer, just to name a few. In addition, be prepared for the fan film Godzilla Zero Hour, which pits Godzilla against Gamera in a battle to the death. And if that wasn't enough, IMAX is releasing Godzilla 3D to the Max. Keep listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast for more details.
Alright guys, thank you once again for continuing to listen to this Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast that we're doing on Star Trek. So, we're going to move now to a new topic. This is going to be more of speculation. What is now going to happen? Now that we have this new Star Trek film under our belt, so to speak, what will happen to the franchise? One of the things that I was thinking about yesterday when I saw this film, since this now changes really the continuity of all future episodes of Star Trek, as well as the other spin-off series of Next Generation, DS9, Voyager. Will we see those same storylines, the same characters? For example, if we go and look at the second film, we know that in the movie version, Khan was going to be played, or at least by Ricardo Montalban, in the second movie based on Spacey. So, could we possibly then see, if we do this right, a remake of Star Trek II? And since, unfortunately, Ricardo Montalban has passed away, of course, in the Star Trek movie
had passed away, the one person that I was thinking of, and I've seen this actor before, and you may not recognize the name, but you may have seen him on Lost, and he was also on The Tick, the live version, which he played Batman well. The person I'm speaking of is Nestor, and please say if I'm saying this wrong. Carbonell.
Nestor Carbonell.
Carbonell, thank you. And in this case, he's playing Richard Albert in the Lost series. And having kind of sort of caught up on watching Lost on season 5, he's now more prominent in that show. And every time that I see him, he has a very Ricardo Montalban Khan-like presence. He's not exactly bad, but he has that streak about him that I'm like, if there's going to be one person, if they ever do this, if they're going to have a new Khan, that's who I would want to play Khan. And because I can't think of anyone else that has that charisma, that looks and has that nice feel about him. And being kind of like an unknown actor, you know, I've seen him to great humor. Also, he was in Suddenly Susan. I completely forgot about that. He was in that series, too. Plus a serious role in Lost, he can pull it off. You know, I don't know how you feel about that, but if we're going to do Khan in the next movie, I think he would be a great Khan to have.
You're right. I mean, like, he has the intensity to play him, and I had the same, you know, sort of fanboy fantasy of seeing him in here, especially because of his association with J.J. Abrams, and we know that J.J. Abrams likes to use some of, you know, his actors frequently in other projects. However, I was talking to you guys about this before the actual recording. I don't think that this franchise should go in the direction of trying to remake the episodes. You know, they've already spent time trying to, you know, re-energize it by going in a new direction, and I think they should stick to that. One of the things I was discussing with a friend of mine and with my brother as well would be, you know, if they want to address some of the new continuity, like, or some of the, like, a new version of an old story, like a space scene, then maybe what they should do is try to give you a glimpse of one of those episodes, so to speak, during, like, a teaser sequence at the beginning of each film before leading into a different story, you know, in the movies. You know, like, that's what I would like to see. I personally think, you know, that I want to see them do different things that they didn't do on the series that maybe they couldn't do on the series because it was too expensive to do for TV. I want to see them really open this up the way this movie opened it up, like big battles in space, you know, different aliens, things that will make it feel more like these guys are out in space by themselves and it's dangerous.
Yeah,
you know,
I think...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I think that, you know, you've done the origin story, you've done the re-origin story, right? And so therefore you've established your characters again for a new generation. You now know who these actors are and the characters that they play, which has already, in our minds, already been established. You know, I don't think that Paramount Studios can afford to redo TV episodes. It's simply the wrong direction. You know, I think that they'll probably keep it generalized, you know, like have them fight Klingons the next movie or something, have some really big threat that way, because Klingons aren't even mentioned in this film. That's fine. You know, but I think they'll keep it general, and then they'll keep trying to keep the humor and the kinetic energy that this film had and the humor to it. I don't think it'd be cost-effective to redo it.
Well, on that note then, you know, if you're going to keep it kind of new, then why bring in Klingons? You know, I would say let's create something that's brand new, not necessarily Borg or a brand new, I don't know, an outside force to that it goes against Starfleet that we have not seen before. Because, you know, yeah, we see Klingons off the starboard bow, but that's about it. We've seen this before.
But you know what? Like, I think Klingons are so associated with the show that I don't think they'll be able to avoid doing a storyline with the Klingons in the subsequent films. However, you know, speaking to what you're saying, why not show us some of the aliens? Why don't they fight some of the aliens that have been mentioned before, but they couldn't go into great detail about, like the Tholians or the Gorn, you know, people that the fans have wanted to see more of, but they couldn't really go into too much because they were expensive to produce. That kind of thing would be interesting and would still show you that, yeah, the stories are different, but it's still the same universe.
I don't know. It's hard to do what you guys are suggesting, because the thing is that, you know, you've got these established characters and you've got 42 years of history, of television history, television and movie history that you have to deal with. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that the races, you know, the Borg, the Klingons, what have you, they're constant species in the Star Trek universe. That because you're reimagining them, you know, I don't think it's avoidable to have these revisited in future movies. You have to do it. You know, having a new villain or a new species isn't a bad idea, but it won't be nearly as big a draw as something that's familiar.
Right. Well, you know, right. That's where I get like something as stupid on Enterprise as the Sulaban, who we've never seen before. There was never any mention of it before, but yet there it is. And honestly, it wasn't the greatest of races to be a foil against the Federation. So that's the danger that lies of putting in something that's brand new without some kind of backstory. You run the risk of that. So I think
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying you may need to tap the well and just maybe tweak it a bit. That's my argument.
I think that there may be certain landmark events that you can't avoid. Like, I don't think they're going to want to remake episodes, but I think after a while, people might be saying, hey, where's Khan? So I won't be surprised if I see him again.
Yeah.
But generally, I don't want them to go in that direction. I don't want to just see, like you were saying, like the ultimate Marvel version of Khan or the ultimate Marvel version of, you know, the Tribbles. I just want them to go out there and think of good stories.
Right.
And the other thing that I think we will see, I mean, I may be wrong about this, but I think that we will see one of the major characters die a surprise death.
Oh, I expect that.
Yeah.
And if we're going to place bets, and I just thought about this just now, that I would say that it'll be Uhura.
Oh, I don't think so, because she's the female lead. And in this movie, the way they wrote her, she really is the female lead. You know, she serves as like a triangle sort of between Kirk and Spock. So I don't think that they'll get rid of her, but Sulu didn't have much to do in the movie.
I'm thinking Sulu. Sulu will be marked for it. And in the other films, he's a captain. He keeps moving forward. I think it'd be interesting to knock him off.
Right, yeah. It doesn't even matter who. Like, I just think that it'll be fun to do that to surprise everybody and jar them and say, hey, this really isn't, you know, your father's Star Trek like they were saying.
Okay. But what about any other series? Could there ever be, at this point, I mean, I know, Gene, you talked about this briefly, about having other Star Trek series, but if there's a renewed interest, wouldn't it not be on Paramount's, you know, behest to create a new Star Trek series? And if so, would you remake one of the other series? Redo Next Generation, redo DS9 or Voyager, or do we do something altogether different? Keep it in the same Federation Star Trek, Starfleet history, make it a brand new ship, its own crew, but still set in Federation territory and so forth.
Are you going to answer, Gene? Or?
Yeah, I will. You have five shows. Star Trek, and it's not, you know, it doesn't work as a franchise anymore on television, in my personal opinion. I think movies are the way to go. Movies are, they take a long time to make, they're amazing special effects, and you get money faster, quicker, and you get more money, generally speaking, if it's a good film, if it's a good story. I don't think there's any need to put it back on television. I mean, don't get me wrong, I would love it, you know, but if it's going to be at the quality of a lesser shows, no. You know, and the fact of the matter is that the Star Trek movie, 2009, it was good because it was really great special effects, wonderful sets, you know, $150 million sunk into the budget. It was great. It was a real pleasure to watch and see. And you just can't really squeeze that onto a television screen very easely.
But it will kind of help to tie in between films at least an ongoing interest until and have things be introduced that possibly you may want to say, let's use this now as the next movie. And you already have this backstory. And, yeah, you may be a couple of years in between movies, but you have this to help the next movie. That's what I would see as Paramount maybe had to decide that, you know, this may be a right thing to do. Granted, they overextended themselves by shutting down, you know, as one series was leaving, another series right off its coattails. That may be a bad thing to do right now, but I think one series probably in the next year or two may not be a bad idea.
Well, here's what you really got to look at, though. Like, look at the history. You know, like they say, you know, you those who don't learn from history, like, look at the history, and you'll get the answers to your questions right there. Like, the Next Generation was created at a time where Star Trek IV came out, and it just cleaned up at the box office. Like, that was the biggest movie that had come out in the Star Trek series up until that time, and even since. And so the Next Generation was created because they said, okay, we're really popular right now. Let's go into syndication and see how well we can do there. Same thing with Deep Space Nine. Deep Space Nine was created when Star Trek The Next Generation had hit the number one series in syndication. And the same thing with Voyager. It was created when they decided, oh, we're going to start a new network, UPN. If it makes business sense, they'll create a new series. I don't think they're going to create one for a while because I think what they're going to do now is sort of like starve the market a little bit to kind of get as much money as they can out of this franchise. But I think they very well could create a new series. Now, the thing that I really think is a certainty is that Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto and these guys are probably only signed to do a total of 3 movies.
Right.
So
that's correct.
What are they going to do after that? They're going to have to do something after that if they want to keep it going.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a reboot of The Next Generation, like a reimagining of that. Because The Next Generation was arguably more popular with people than the classic series. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a reimagining of that to some extent.
I bet that hurt to say. Very bold.
Okay. All right. Well, I think, you know, we're definitely going to have to just, there's no choice but to wait to see what happens. So no matter how much we may think this may be a good idea, may not be a great idea, it's pretty much out of our hands, and we can only vote, you know, with our pocketbook, so to speak. I'm still eager for more material, so, you know, we're willing to accept change, and we want to embrace change that, you know, maybe Paramount may can benefit from maybe listening to this podcast to maybe reconsider of changing, you know, what was a stale and stagnant series to be now fresh and revitalized. Which, oddly enough, is going to lead into our next conversation. The term of reboot or reimagine, kind of like with The Dark Knight and BSG, what makes it a reboot or reimagine, or is this even the right term to use in this case for Star Trek? So that's the conversation we're going to pick up next. Hold on to your seats, and we're going to continue in just a bit.
Monster Sci-Fi Show presents a special Create Your Own Comic website. Discover on this site the tips and tricks that I learned to create my own comic, Star Wars, Aliens vs. Jedi. Best of all, it's all free. The information, the tools, the whole kit and caboodle, whatever the hell that means. Go to the Monster Sci-Fi Show blog on WordPress for more information.
All right, Monster Sci-Fi Show fans, we're going to be hitting our last topic for this special Star Trek podcast. And basically, we're going to be talking about, is this new Star Trek movie a reboot or is it reimagined? And a couple of arguments we can talk about is, you know, we have Battlestar Galactica as reimagined, but we also have Dark Knight that's rebooted the series. So I'm curious as to how you define at least Star Trek to be in either category, and maybe it shouldn't fit in either one. So, Mr. Gene, why don't you go ahead and give us your ideas about that?
I think it's a reimagining. I do. It's not really a reboot because it's still there. It's all the elements are still there. I mean, same thing with Batman and all that. But you know, Batman is easier to reboot because you know you can change the costume, you can change the not quite the setting. So it's Gotham City, but you know the stylistic imaginations of the setting. Because Chris Nolan's Batman Returns and The Dark Knight is a lot more realistic than, say, oh gosh, Joe Schumacher's version. Mm. Which one? Yeah, let's not talk about that. Anyway, but the thing is that, you know, with Star Trek, it keeps all the core elements. It wants to embrace them rather than get away from them. I think that's the main difference between a reimagining and a reboot. You know, you reboot something when you just want to forget what you did in the past. Kind of like the way that the Incredible Hulk, the most recent Incredible Hulk that came out last summer, tried to completely forget the Hulk, and leave the Hulk, and just said, you know, we got this there, but it's not part of our thing. Yeah, same story, but we just want to get away from that. You know, so that was kind of a reboot, I think, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But again, with all it's whether you turn around and embrace what you've done in the past. That's the key to whether you're reimagining or rebooting. And if you like it, then you're reimagining. If you don't, and you want to start from scratch, it's rebooting.
Okay. What about you, Tommy?
I think that both of the terms are kind of both anyway, when it boils down to it. Like when you think about the way movies have been made for years, like, you know, you had one guy playing Tarzan, which was Johnny Weissmuller, and then, mm-hmm. you know, 10 years later it was Gordon Scott playing Tarzan, and then after that it was any number of guys, and it was like, and they didn't care whether one movie had continuity with the other or whatever. It was just basically, you knew it was Tarzan, a guy who was raised in the jungle, and he would fight some bad guys, and that was it. Same thing with Sherlock Holmes has been played by many people, and he's going to be played by Robert Downey at the end of the year. You've had Dracula played by many people. And this is basically the same thing to me. Like, it's a new interpretation of the show where they're just presenting you with the essence of the characters. And the changes have mostly been changes that needed to be made for this generation in order for the show to survive. Reboot, reimagining, whatever it is, I think that, you know, whatever it ends up being to anybody, it just needs to end up being good. And as long as it's good, you know, I don't really have a problem with it. As much as I nitpicked in our earlier conversation, I nitpick it because I love it. But I mean, but honestly, like, I really enjoyed the movie, and I thought it was great.
Yeah. Right. Well, in my sense, and it's kind of like, it's kind of both. It fits in the term that Gene puts it in, reboot, in which they kind of forget everything that happened in the past, basically. But the reimagining part, and that's the part that, like with BSG, I know which Gene has not seen, so, but in any case, you know, Starbucks.
Wait, what's
now,
BSG? Tell everybody what BSG is.
Oh, sorry. Battlestar Galactica.
Right.
Okay. Starbuck, if we watch the original series, is now played by a woman. But in the 70s, it was played by a man. It was Dirk Benedict. Now it's, I forgot her name.
Katie Sackhoff.
How can I remember that? Katie Sackhoff. In any case.
You imagined her many times, Monty, in your imagination. How could you do this?
Stop it. We're not having that conversation on this podcast. I told you. What? But she was great. But that's not the exact same thing. Spock is reimagined to have, or at least embrace emotions. So in that respect, yes. But reimagined, I would take it in a term like what BSG did, in which any character that was portrayed a certain way is now changed either by sex or a new take on that character. So a lot of it, we saw a lot of reimagining as far as characters. Kirk was probably one of the biggest ones. We don't really see a whole lot of old Kirk until the very end where he is now captain.
And sitting with his legs crossed, just like William Shatner.
Yeah, and he has the same kind of strut, the same kind of mannerism, the kind of slap on the back of McCoy's back. I'm like, that's Shatner. That's Shatner's Kirk. But before that, it was all Chris Pine. There was very little that I saw of Shatner in there, but except for that last little, tip of the hat, so to speak. So it's kind of on a border of both, but in the end, no matter what you want to define this as, like you said, Tony, it has to be good for any Star Trek fan to love this. I'm just, grateful that finally, and keeping our fingers crossed, that, this is going to be the first of many new Star Trek films for us fans who, we've had it kind of bad, if we had, the Star Wars camp and the Star Trek camp. For years, it's always been like Star Wars has been winning, against Star Trek because, honestly, the last couple of films, whether you love them or hate them, or at least were more mainstream out there and had a much bigger, wider audience appeal than Star Trek has. At least that's been declining over the years, and we've become like this dinosaur that has been left to die. And
well,
I'm grateful that... Good, Tony, good.
That what's cool about it is not only that we fans have this new Star Trek, but that the non-fans have this new Star Trek because, finally... I don't have to be ashamed to beg my wife to go with me to see the movie. She went to the movie and she loved it even more than I did. And yesterday, I saw it twice this weekend. Yesterday I went with a group of people that went from age 80 all the way down to age 3. And every single person, all non-fans, all loved the movie. So, finally, it's just a cool movie and not this old, like you said, an old dinosaur that people look at you like you're like some freak for liking.
I would like to ask a random question to you guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Star Trek movie. We were all really jonesing, excited about it before it came out. What was the dorkiest thing that you did while you were at the show? Did you guys do anything dorky? Did you dress up?
I know I didn't.
You said while you were at the show?
Yeah,
while you're at the show, while you're going to the show, did you do anything? Hand phaser in your bag. I went to Cine Bistro. I actually brought the bar recipe for a Romulan ale, which I had, which is okay. They put fruit in it and put it in a really tall glass. It made it look like I normally wouldn't drink, but it was okay. Yeah, I had my hand phaser in the bag.
If you're going to be that dorky, I ordered the Star Trek dessert. Which was not really Star Trek in any respects, but they just put Star Trek and a price tag of $12, and I bought it. So, that's my given moment right there. Nothing dorky about that. But
wow. All
right, the dorkiest thing that I did was that I gave the cold shoulder to the local Star Trek fan club chapter, the USS Republic, who had a table set up at the movie theater trying to recruit new members. And they had a guy dressed up as a Klingon and another guy dressed up as Picard, and I just ignored them and walked past them. That's the dorkiest thing I did.
You're such a snob. Yeah, but there's something said to be said about those clubs, and I'm not knocking it because they are diehard fans, but sometimes they're just really diehard fans, and those are the ones that will say those are the Trekkers and not the Trekkies, and they will tell you the difference as to what's the difference between the two. And sometimes you really don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
But
friends too.
And it matters to them that they know the difference, and that you should know too. But.
Yeah, isn't it funny that even within the Star Trek fans, there's like cast levels. You're the cool Star Trek fan. You're not the cool Star Trek fan.
I mean, it was kind of weird, how this all came about. So watching our first Star Trek movie and seeing how much this has been like a worldwide appeal and how it was accepting of people. No matter where you came from, you could understand the values that this series was teaching. And it was great. You know, those who were handicapped didn't see themselves as being handicapped, but being saying, you know, there's a place for you among us, that you weren't excluded. And it's kind of a nice way to feel that way. But even then, when you find out that there's really diehard fans, you don't want to get caught up in that mix. As much as we are, sometimes they're just the extreme end.
Those guys that actually know the combination, the Kirk's locker, is a little scary.
Yeah, you're Shakespeare and Klingon. Yeah, okay, good. I don't see a need for that, but yes, go ahead.
Speaking of means, I'm not sure that anyone see on Saturday Night Live over the weekend.
Yes, yes.
Leonard Nimoy, Zachary Quinto, and Chris Pines was on SNL Weekend Update. And just a little five-minute segment they did was really good, and I'm not going to say what Leonard said. So I will put it on my blog and bet that, but it was really funny. It was like Leonard Nimoy's version of Shatner's Kept Alive, but really vulgar. Really vulgar. And I love that. And I love those guys, too. So I'm really excited for this whole franchise. And we can talk about this real quick, because I'm kind of curious as to what you think about this. The thing with Shatner not being in the film, do you care or do not care?
I'm a huge Shatner fan. I care that he was not in the film. I mean, for me, the appeal of the show has always been him. Like,
right.
I never liked the other shows as much because he wasn't in it, you know? So for me, I would have loved to see him in the movie. However, that being said, if he were to be in the movie would turn and would revolve around him, and that
mm-hmm.
wasn't the way to go. You
right.
know, like, Nimoy is humble enough to leave himself in the background. You know, Shatner would have wanted to be front and center. So,
yeah. Generation.
Yeah.
The story doesn't fit.
So I can live
Shatner
with that.
The story doesn't fit with Shatner being in it at all. I mean, the thing is, it continues down the next generation timeline continuity. You know, with Spock, I mean, they use reunification. As the basis for their time travel thing, and because of that, you're basing it in the Next Generation universe. Kirk's dead. Sorry, you know. I mean, in the novels, I know he comes back. That was.
Yeah, but all you have to do to resolve that is so easy. I mean, if you believe anything in these movies, you can believe that. All you have to do to resolve that is Spock says, "Hey, I know somebody who can help. Let's find the Nexus," and they travel through it, and they Kirk up, and that's it. I mean, that's it. Like, I mean, like, these movies are all fantasy BS anyway, so...
Yeah, I know.
They
would just completely destroy the narrative string they were working on so carefully to weave to make a good story. You think Shatner in there, it's just like, what the...
They took a poll of fans and non-fans, and they
mm-hmm.
actually... And 36% of the respondents said that they felt the movie would have been better with Shatner in it. So that's a... No, I mean before they saw the movie.
Okay,
like
Right,
right. Like they said that it would have been... They would have been more inclined to see it had he been in it. So he's got a big following that, you know, still wants to see him in it. But I think that they did the right thing, and I think they knew that if he would have been in it, it would have had to be about him, so...
Yeah. And I think that you know, the fact of it is, I mean, it's top secret stuff. You know, Shatner didn't even know what the hell was going on. Leonard Nimoy, his best friend, wouldn't tell him anything. You know, even about the movie that was just coming out. So, I don't know. It was a hush-hush secret. And he wouldn't fit, I don't think. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Shatner
fans. I just think that, you know, it's well enough that we see Leonard, not Shatner. You know, Shatner did Generations with Picard. We want to see it. Crappy as it was, having a really kind of lame, oh my, moment, and he dies, fine, it's done with. You know, it's time to move on and give someone else a moment, you know. So I'm happy with Leonard Nimoy's performance. Being in just, you know, a couple of shots here and there, I couldn't be more than happy. about the series without Shatner. So unfortunately, guys, this is going to be the end of our podcast, and I hate to say that, but I'm kind of Star Trek'd out, considering I had seen the Star Trek movie yesterday, and then, of course, on the way home, listening to the Star Trek soundtrack, which I'm going to have to do a Star Trek review on my blog. I'm not going to talk about it here or in the previous one, but the music is really critical, and I hope you do get to look at it, because me being a diehard soundtrack fan, the music is just as important as seeing all the characters. So look out for that piece soon, because it means a lot for me to have that kind of voice about music in a Star Trek film, because it's really, really critical. So on that note, Mr. Gene, thank you once again for your brilliance, and as always,
for being my co-host.
And Tony, thank you once again for, you know, finding me and then, you know, wanting to do this podcast, because I know we've been diehard Star Trek fans for quite some time, and you even did a Kirk eulogy with me at the Star Trek event at Borders. So, you know, I can't think of a better person to add on to the Star Trek podcast than you. So thank you very much, Tony.
It was a pleasure.
All right, so I don't know when the next podcast is going to be, but no matter what, live long and prosper. Good night, everyone. Take care.
Did you have to?
Of course. All right.